does your wise knowledge, big head, amazing brain, can you put your finger on the point? Da 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 da. Quick fire predictions. Hello and welcome back. We have reached number 10. Did I think we would get this far? Probably not after the first episode, but Luke's looking a bit confused. But we have made it. Number 10. It's amazing. Obviously, I'm your host, Harry Waring, joined by the ever so delightful Luke Green. How are we, Luke?
Tired, probably.
Tired?
Not hugely happy about last weekend. We went to a good game, though.
Yeah, we had a great day. Great day at Burton.
Yeah, but yeah, our results for our teams did not go very well at all.
No.
To be fair, you were losing 3-0, came back for 3-2.
But then again,
a bit of fight in it.
Yeah, but you know, still goes down as a loss. Obviously, we'll be back to a normal show. Last week episode was sort of disrupted, really, because of international fixtures. We only focused on League 2 and the games in League 1. But we're fully back, so as usual, let's jump straight into League 2. Top of the league sits Leyton Orient, and bottom is still Rochdale. However, if you've been following the EFL at URN Instagram page, you would have seen a post dedicated to Hartlepool, as they are still without a win, and they are also managerless. Sam Hoskins remains top goalscorer in this league with 11 goals in 10 games, which for me is, you know, pretty silly. But I think the first game we're going to look at now in the league, it took place actually on Friday night, which is a bit unusual for a League Two game. And this is between Mansfield and Hartlepool. Mansfield, this game ended 2-2. Mansfield bottled a 2-goal lead. Goals from Lapsil and Hartbottle saw them 2-0 up in the 59th minute. However, a double from Umara saw Hartlepool fight back for a point. Mansfield are sitting 7th in the table. Hartlepool sat 23rd. And you know what? I'm going to come to you with a big question. What is going on at Hartlepool?
I don't know, really. I think, obviously, they overperformed last year, only just coming up via the playoffs of the National League. I think, yeah. It's not very good at Hartlepool at the moment. I think they're probably one of the weakest teams in the league and do not have a win as well. Although Umara is a bit of a highlight for them. He scored 5 goals in this season, which is a pretty decent return. But they just can't really keep... Well, they can't even win a game, and that is a problem. They're the only team in the league to not win a game. And again, managerless now. Hartley has gone from Hartlepool. Yeah. I don't think they're attracting any managers at the moment. They probably are talking about future managers and stuff, but nothing is really being said at the moment. I haven't heard anything. I don't think Harry has.
No, I haven't either.
So, I don't know. They're obviously probably one of the smallest teams in the whole 92. But you would have thought maybe a National League coach or a good National League North or South coach might want to have a bit of a go in the EFL, but it doesn't really seem like they could attract anyone yet.
No, yeah, I completely agree. You know, sat 23rd, you're not really looking at top-end League 2 managers now, because you're going to be looking at... Would you even agree top end National League? Because I think...
No, I think obviously the top end of National League is probably bigger than Hartlepool.
Yeah, because especially...
You've got Wrexham, Chesterfield, you've got Notts County, all them big teams. I don't think any of their managers want to run away yet.
No, and especially those managers, you know, they could be seeing, they get a promotion on the playing cards.
Yeah.
Maybe they might get themselves a jump up to League One if they got promoted under it. As did, who's the guy at Forest Green now?
He didn't get promoted.
No, he didn't get promoted, but he went from non-national league to...
Yeah, who looks...
Yeah, no, we've seen that one. Anyway, we've spoke about Hartlepool before. 23rd. It's not looking good. And as you've said, yeah, they're not one of the biggest teams. Obviously, they used to be in a league a few years ago. But, yeah, there needs to be some big changes. Minus 11 goal difference.
The only real glimpse of hope for them to be is how tight it is actually between 15th place and 24th. 7 points between 15th and 24th, which still isn't a lot, but you know, it's these early games, as we've spoken about before, that can really do the damage.
But the only positive for Hartlepool is they don't, well, compared to the teams around them, they don't lose a lot.
So no, yeah.
They might be quite solid-y, but they can't really... Obviously, the attacking intent is not really there at the moment.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. They've got, out of the 11 this year, they've lost five, but they've got six draws in there. And obviously, this draw against Mansfield, picking up points like this is just keeping them within that, you know, touching distance of the team above.
Yeah.
Whilst on the other hand, you know, a team like Rochdale, for example, they've got one win in there, but only two draws, if I'm correct in saying that. So it's where you pick these points up and how, you know, a 1 point at the end of the season could be what keeps you in the league. Have you got anything you want to add for Mansfield, though, on the other hand?
I think it is quite funny that they played at 7:45 on a Friday night, seeing as last week we talked about them playing at 12 o'clock on a Saturday because they wanted to reduce costs of the floodlight. So I think maybe the EFL were just like, oh, you can't be special. We'll like punish you and give you an evening game, which is quite funny, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And didn't really expect Mansfield to bottle this game either, because they were 2-0 up in the 60th minute. So you would have thought, again, especially against the bottom side, well, one of the bottom sides of the division, you would have thought they'd at least hold out. You wouldn't expect them to bottle this game, but they did.
No, especially with such great form that we've seen for them recently as well. Obviously, picking up six wins this season, two draws, three losses. Goal difference is six as well. You know, they're in a good position, so that's sixth in the table. We spoke about them quite a bit recently, actually. Obviously, they're one of the local teams for URN radio station, so we probably will be doing an away days out to them, so keep an eye out for that. But, you know, a few weeks ago we said, you know, they needed to get over that playoff final loss, and it seems that they have. A few weeks ago we said they were on the right charge. Maybe bottling this game could be seen as an anomaly for their form they're in, but, you know, anything could really happen. Right, I think we'll leave that game there because it was a 2-2 draw at the end of the day. And we're going to go to Swindon Town versus Northampton. This is a game which, you know, had to wait till really for the last 30 minutes to get exciting. A goal for Johnny Williams in the 61st minute for Swindon saw them go 1-0 up. However, two goals for Northampton from Fox and Pinnock saw the points go Northampton's way. Northampton remain their second place in the table, while Swindon now drop to 10th. We haven't really spoken a lot about this team. I think we've spoken a bit about them here and there. So I just want to get your overall thoughts on both teams.
I think Northampton obviously will finish, I'd say, top four, maybe top five this season. I think they definitely have the squad to do so. And they look like they can score goals without Hoskins too, because Hoskins obviously didn't play this game. I don't know whether he's injured or not, but he wasn't in the squad.
Yeah, I don't really know either. But as I said earlier, 11 goals in 10 games, having him, somebody like that in the team is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think that they've obviously got players to step up, like Ryan Haynes, who we've seen at League 1 and 2 level. I think he was at Newport County a few seasons ago, and also Shrewsbury the season before. Mm. So he's obviously got a bit of pedigree at a higher level. I think he started off at the left back. And he now plays centre midfield, which is, again, another switch. I think you see a lot of switches in lower league football, to be honest with you, because obviously with Shrewsbury, we need to, because our squad is tiny. Yeah. And, George Nurse. I'll get onto that, we get lead two. But obviously, Leahy was a left back and now plays centre midfield for us. It's basically the same as Ryan Haynes, really.
We saw Oshilaja at the weekend as well, down as a centre-back.
You loved him.
Oh, mate, he was star player.
He was staring at his thighs the entire game.
Yeah, you know, admirer. He's obviously been in the gym. But yeah, I get what you mean. Loving to see it. If we look at Swindon, on the other hand, then, sat 10th, you know, 17 points. It's not terrible. It's not terrible to say that they lost their manager and quite a few key players. Mm. Do you think this could be a little, you know, bad patch of form though coming on their way?
I just don't think
they're going to get any higher than a 10th place finish, to be honest with you. I think that they don't have the squad to get into the playoffs, but they also are not that bad to get drawn into like a relegation battle. I think they're a solid mid-table team, and I think what they should do this season is build for next season, because obviously with a new manager, you don't really go up straight away after getting a new manager in. But give him another year and get the squad that he wants, because this isn't his squad. Let's put that out there. This is probably is not his final squad that he wants, because he's only had probably a few weeks of the transfer window. So all these players were the previous manager's players. Well, most of them anyway. So, I mean, as soon as he gets a decent squad together, with because Swindon probably one of the biggest teams in League 2, as soon as they get very good quality players that the manager likes, I think then they will be challenger playoffs. But I think that might be for next season.
Yeah, definitely. They are one of the biggest squads. In 2014, they were, you know, top of League 1, battling it out with the likes of Preston, Bristol City, obviously MK Dons. That was the promotion year. But since then, they sort of, you know, found themselves being that, I want to say, yo-yo team between League 1 and 2, if you allow me to say that. Because, you know, they're sort of always at the top of League 2, but in League 1, they haven't really put the investment into...
No, but I think like last time they were in League 2, 1, they were also the, like... ownership problems. They wanted to sell, but couldn't get any buyers and stuff like that. It was a bit of a mess for them last season. Was it last season they were in League? Season before.
Season before, yes.
Because
yes.
It was COVID.
It was definitely
the
year
season
after before.
COVID. So yeah. So and also they're going to lose Johnny Williams soon.
Yes, Wales
in a month.
Well,
and he's a big player for them at the moment.
He's a massive player. I was really surprised actually when he dropped down from he was at Cardiff, if I believe. He dropped down all the way down to Swindon. Obviously, he's a player who's had, you know, multiple injury periods, but he's still a very good player. And obviously, Wales still love him. Right, have you got anything else you want to add?
Not really, no.
Right then, we'll move on to a third game now in League Two, and that is Leyton Orient versus Newport. This is sort of a standout game for me because Leyton Orient lose their first game of the season. The score finished 2-1. Newport were two goals up at half-time through Evans and a Omar Boggle penalty. Orient managed to claw one back in the 64th minute. Even though they lost, Leyton Orient remained top of the table and Newport climb up to 16. Would you say this result's a surprise then, seeing as you know Newport have had such a slow start this year?
Yeah, I think it would... Will be harsh to say that they were probably in a bit of a relegation battle before this game, because they only had 8 points before this game in 10 games, which is relegation form. What usually, maybe not in League Two, because there's usually like two really bad teams that go down. But yeah, it was a big shock for us. I think when we were at the Burton game, we saw the score. We were like, "What's happening there?" Then we didn't really expect Leyton Orient to be 2-0 down at half time, because obviously they've had an amazing back line so far this season. And yeah, Newport have just been really slow. I mean, obviously Omar Boggle has been probably a slight highlight for them this season, but I think if you're a Newport fan, this season obviously is a bit underwhelming, but this will give you a bit of hope that you can slowly work your way back up the league.
Yeah, and for just get the stats out there for Omar Boggle, he's scored 6 goals now in 12 games, which is pretty good going, you say, because he's... With that form, yeah. You could say he's on track for 20.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think he probably is a League One striker. I think he definitely could do a job at League One level. I think we've seen worse strikers at League One level. So yeah, he will be probably the shining light for Newport this season, and will probably lead their charge up the table, because they obviously have the facilities to climb the table, like as they've shown against Leyton Orient. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if. In 10 games time, Newport might be sniffing around top 8, top 7.
Yes, top 7. To put a bit of context though into this game, Leyton Orient had 73% possession. They also had 20 shots to Newport's 5. Only 5 of those shots were on target, but they had 14 corners as well. So you can really see, you know, Newport having 27% possession. It was sort of like they were really hanging on there towards the end. It sort of shows that, you know, good things can happen, if I can say that, you know, because it looks on paper, it looks like they got absolutely battered.
Yeah.
And with a lineup such as Leyton Orient, you know, when you've got Archibald or Kelman or Smith, Moncur, you'd be a bit surprised, actually, that with that amount of possession, that they haven't been able to find the back of the net a few more times.
Yeah, but obviously Newport took their chances when they needed to. Mm. I mean, one of them was a penalty, so you'd expect them to score that. But yeah, Evans, well-taken goal. And Bogle, well-taken penalty.
Indeed, indeed. Right, if we just, you know, it's been 11 games now in League 2, so we'll have a little look at the table, because I think we're starting to see, you know, how it sort of lines up. So, top three, Leighton Orient, as we've said, Northampton, as we said, but then Stevenage finding themselves in there. And then fourth to seventh is Bradford, Salford, Barrow and Mansfield. And a couple of teams which are worth noting just outside are Doncaster, Carlisle and I say Swindon. Out of those, so we look at the top three quickly. So Leighton Orient, Northampton, Stevenage. You know, they've managed to create themselves a little four-point gap now between the other teams.
Yeah.
They're looking very strong as well, I have to say. Obviously, Northampton having Hoskins, Leighton Orient only losing one, and Stephen Evans just doing magic at Stevenage. You know, could that gap get any bigger?
Yeah, so with Leighton Orient, obviously they're outperforming their XG. So, yeah, you would have thought they'd falter a little bit, especially after such a dominant 10-game run. And also, I think I'd expect Northampton to stay up there because, obviously, they have got one of the best squads in the league. And, yeah, Stevenage. I don't know about them. I think they'll probably stay in and around the top seven, I think. But they might have a little fall-off because a lot of their games have been won in the last minute. Like, over half of their games have been won in the last minute. And you wouldn't really expect that to be kept up.
No, yeah, I agree with that. And then quickly, if we just look at the playoffs. So I said there were Bradford, Salford, Barrow, Mansfield. The team that really, you know, sort of stands out to me in there is Barrow. And then the two outside I mentioned is Doncaster, Carlisle, and I said Swindon as well, but we'll ignore them for the moment because they're 3 points behind. Really, it's more Doncaster, actually, out of those teams, which I think may find themselves in.
I think Carlisle.
You think Carlisle as well?
They've only lost one match.
Yeah.
And if they can get some of them draws into wins, then, I mean, they'll be fine, I think. I think everybody probably underestimated them because they had a terrible year last year.
Yeah.
But whenever I've seen them, I think they've been playing really well, especially with Dennis in the team. He's been insane for them. Well, 7 goals in 11 matches in the league.
Right, but I'm going to give you one question now then to spice this up. Out of those four teams, Bradford, Salford, Barrow, Mansfield, you have to pick one that you think will drop out next. Because there's only 1 point between 7th and 4th. That's how tight it is.
I don't want to say Barrow.
No?
But I will say Barrow because they are not as big as all the teams around them.
Yeah.
And their squad have been, again, overperforming for the last 10, 11 games. So I would expect them to maybe... I'd like to see them in the top seven, but I don't think it'll happen.
Yeah, I sort of agree with you there because, as you said, their squad's been overperforming, but not only that, they do have a smaller squad out of the other three teams. And I think when you're picking up injuries and also with, you know, the new 5-sub rule, I think little things like that might just, you know, go against them. Moving swiftly on, we'll just have a little cheeky look at the relegation zone. Obviously, we spoke about these at the very start of the podcast. Rochdale sat 24th, Hartlepool 23rd. But, you know, teams above them, Crawley, Colchester, are both on this level points with Hartlepool. And then you've got Harrogate, Satan, 2 points clear. And you know what, I'll go up to Stockport, make it interesting. 19th there, Stockport on 9 points with 3 points clear of the relegation zone. You know, a lot of football still to be played. Do you want to just give us any thoughts on those teams?
I don't know. I think Crawley might get dragged into it because on and off the pitch they've been terrible.
Mm.
Last 4 games have lost, conceding 9 goals in the last 4 games. That's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And the rate they're picking up points is terrible at the moment. So I wouldn't be surprised if they fell in and like someone like maybe a Rochdale, the new manager bounce, might probably overtake them.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Right, we'll end our analysis there. Luke, do you want to run us through the rest of the scores?
Yeah, that's right. So obviously on the Friday night you had Mansfield and Hartlepool, which was 2-2. Then on Saturday, the 1st of October, it was, come on, Harrogate Town 1, Bradford 2, Wimbledon 2, Colchester 1, Carlisle 0, Crewe 0, Crawley 1, Stevenage 2, Gillingham 1, Sutton United 0, Leyton Orient 1, Newport 2, Rochdale 1, Doncaster 2, Salford 1, Grimsby 1, Stockport County 1, Walsall 1, Swindon Town 1, Northampton Town 2, Tranmere 1 and Barrow 0.
Lovely stuff. Right, I'm going to do something special for you here.
Special.
It is your prediction turn for Rapid Fire Predictions this week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let you, seeing as you had the international break, I'm going to let you have Tuesday and Saturday. Because there is there's a handful of games on Tuesday. There's four games on Tuesday in League 2, League 1. Hold on, I just need to check the Championship.
I think that most of the Championship games are on Tuesday.
Are they?
Looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
6.
Half.
Yeah, but that's about right then.
And then Wednesday, I think.
So we lost four games in League 1.
All Championship games.
But you lost the Championship and you lost four games. So you're going to get one or two more, but that's all right.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I will give you, you know, this is me being nice. This probably will backfire.
Why, have you overtaken me?
No, I've got no idea. I need to add it up. I need to get the old big calculator out and do a bit of numericals. Right.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Right. Starting in League 2, obviously, on Tuesday, the 4th of October, which is tomorrow, actually. Hartlepool versus Doncaster.
0-0.
Stevenage versus Sutton.
2-0 Stevenage.
Swindon versus Newport.
1-0 Swindon.
Okay. Walsall versus Northampton?
3-1 Northampton.
Okay, they're the Tuesday night games. And then we're going to move on to Saturday the 8th of October. First game is Barrow versus Mansfield.
1-0.
Bradford versus Stockport.
2-0 Bradford.
Colchester versus Harrogate.
1-0.
Crewe versus Gillingham.
1-0.
Okay. Doncaster versus Leyton Orient.
2-0 Leyton Orient.
Grimsby versus Crawley.
3-0 Grimsby.
Hartlepool versus Carlisle.
2-0 Carlisle.
Newport versus Rochdale.
1-0.
Northampton versus Salford.
2-1 Salford.
Stevenage versus Swindon.
2-1 Stevenage.
Sutton versus Tranmere.
1-0.
And Walsall versus AFC Wimbledon.
2-1 Wimbledon.
Right. And one more, because it's a bit closer to League 2. URN members, and obviously EFL at URN, I think other groups such as Holy Trinity, Over the Trent, and maybe a few other members of the URN Society will be going to a Notts County game in the National League versus Wrexham. So, Luke, I'm going to throw this over to you. I would like your score prediction for that game.
3-1, Notts County.
Wow, right. Big game, big game. If you want to find out about the game, obviously I will be away daying it on EFL at URN, and I'm sure it'll make a short appearance on other accounts such as URN Away Days and URN Sport.
Yeah.
So, and I think we'll dedicate a special podcast, actually.
Yeah, we're probably going to do an Away Days podcast towards the end of this week, I think.
Yeah, we'll do it on the Burton Albion game and the Notts County game.
Yeah.
And that'll be lovely. Right. Let's keep pushing on. We're doing all right for time. League One now. You know, Plymouth maintain the top spot at the top of the table. Morecambe and Burton sit level on points on the bottom of the table. Clark Harris is obviously the top goal scorer. Everybody predicted that with 8 goals in 11 games. We've already mentioned we were at the Burton Albion vs Forest game, so, you know, we won't really talk about that in this episode. So I think the first game we're going to go to is Wickham versus Plymouth. This game, you know, was a 1-0 thanks to a Cosgrove penalty. Plymouth remain top of the league whilst Wickham now sit 19th. And I've really got two questions for you here, Luke. Do you think this is the year for Plymouth? You know, they've shown what they could do against, you know, it's, I'm air quoting here, both weaker and stronger sides. So, you know, coming up against teams such as, you know, Wickham could be seen as a strong team, but they've played Ipswich and, you know, they did quite well. So, do you think this could be the year?
For Plymouth, yeah, definitely. I think that this is probably the best chance in years of going up. I think they've got a better squad than last year. obviously Cooper is in amazing form still, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go up, and I definitely don't think they're going to get outside the playoffs this year. I can't see that happening because they're on such a good run of form. I think they've won 7 in a row. Unbeaten is 7, which is promotion form, really.
Yeah, definitely. And my other question, sorry, before I forget, is why do you think we're seeing, I'm going to throw two other teams into this mix here, Oxford and MK Dons. So why do you think we're seeing Oxford, MK Dons, they're all sort of struggling this year. And these are, main teams that we saw in and around the playoffs last year. And these teams are currently sat, I want to say 18th, 19th and 20th. So does your wise knowledge, big head, amazing brain, can you put your finger on the point?
I don't know. I think they might have been surprised by the quality of the league this year. I think the league has definitely got better this year. You've got teams such as, Port Vale. They've been doing all right. Fleetwood, who nearly went down this last season, have been doing pretty well this season. Obviously not winning many or losing many. But then you've got Exeter and Cambridge, two other teams that have just come up, outperforming them as well. And yeah, the teams have come down, on the whole of them, reasonably well. So I think them sort of teams that just missed out on promotion last year have just been pushed down the pecking order a bit. And they don't like that. And obviously with MK Dons, managers left, key players are left. But Wickham and Oxford, they've basically got the same team as last year and the same manager. I mean, it might be going a bit stale there, but I don't really know. Because they should have a really good foundation to push on this year, but they haven't.
Yeah, it's a bit of an odd one, because you've seen, obviously there's air quotes, anomaly teams, such as Accrington, maybe Cambridge are up there, Exeter up there. We never thought those sort of teams would be relegated, but then again, we didn't think we'd be talking about them sitting above Charlton, Oxford, Wickham, MK Dons. So, and you know what, even Burton to a degree, I'll put my hand up, I thought Burton would have been higher up. But yeah, as you said, I think Oxford definitely has gone a bit stale, and obviously Wickham as well. Gareth Ainworth, Carl Robinson's two very good managers, and I don't want to take that away from them, but I think, maybe a big change or, yeah.
I can't see Wickham getting rid of Ainsworth.
No.
I can probably see Oxford getting rid of Thingy, but...
But then again, he has been there a long time as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think those two managers, they're too good to get rid of, because they've proven what they can do.
Yeah.
I just think maybe January is crying out for a few changes in their squad.
Bit of investment. Yeah, I mean, how we saw Burton at the weekend. Are you now worried about Milton Keynes even more?
Yes, I am.
Because Burton looked like they've got a hell of a lot better under Dino.
Yeah.
Definitely is Dino, because we heard some chants of Dino and it wasn't Dino.
So. Yeah.
Are you scared? Because they're only 3 points behind you now.
I'll tell you what, I thought Forest Green were alright as well. I didn't think they were...
Bad.
I thought they're a team that looks like they're going to be in and around the relegation zone, but within a fight at the end of the season.
I think with Forest Green, it really depends on Wickham's injury proneness. Mm. Because obviously, he's missed two matches, or two or three matches now, this season. And we noticed towards the end of the game... He looked like he was injured again.
And then he sat down at the end and took his shin pads off.
Took his shin pads off and was feeling his legs.
That never looks good as a player.
And you've probably seen that a few times.
I saw that a few times at Dons, and that normally means a hamstring injury.
Yeah.
So, but he was a very, very good player.
He was good, wasn't he?
Can't take it away from him.
I think Birchall gave him basically a license to do anything he wants because he's such a big player.
But yeah, getting back to MK Dons, obviously losing 3-2 to Peterborough at the weekend. Two goals right at the end, It was not good. It came through on my phone, didn't it, when we were watching the game. It was within 3-4 minutes they scored their first goal. But
3 minutes,
right. Let's get back to your original question. Sorry, I'm waffling, trying to get around it. I'll hit it straight on. Am I worried? Yes, is my real answer. I think they've invested wrongly. Mm-hmm. I think they've got a bit carried away with the model that we've created. So they create this model where you know, they sign young players, so Matt O'Reilly, Scott Twine, Harry Darling, all of these players we signed for, I don't know, 300,000 each, say, not even that for some. Matt O'Reilly was free, sell him on for 1.5 million. Look at O'Reilly now, he's playing against Real Madrid for Celtic in the Champions League. Scott Twine went for Forg, pushing 8 million transfer. Harry Darling, again, for, I think the deal was around 2 million. Andrew Fisher as well. So I think they've got a bit carried away with that. And we've seen them bring in young players such as Dawson Devoy, Dara Burns, Josh Coyote. Oh, no, he's on loan, sorry. Jack Tucker comes into the bracket. Yeah, I think they've just, you know, Matt Dennis as well up top. There isn't enough people in the team who are experienced at this league or even played in League Two. None of those players that I've just mentioned, bar Coyote, I put him out of the way because he's on loan. I got that was a mistake. But apart from those players, none of them have played in League One. None of them have played in League Two. I think Dennis has played in National League. But then again, it is a massive step up. There is a change between there and League One. So that's where my head's at the moment. You know, I've been a bit emotional in the past, but yeah.
You've just got a really young team.
Yeah, this is what I mean. There's not enough experience. I think they've just gone, right, we'll bring all these amazing young players in.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I think it's gone through their head that they're going to come on the pitch and they're going to play really well every game and their value's going to triple and we'll sell them and make a load of money.
I know you've got like Grigg and McEachran.
McEachran.
They're quite old and experienced. But
so McEachran's very good. He's very good, but he can't do it on his own.
Yeah, but everyone around him is under the age of 26, basically.
But under the 22.
Well, Jules is 25.
Yeah, but he doesn't really play.
Does he?
No.
Robson's 26.
Yeah, but when they so that the game, he changed it up and brought those two in.
Yeah.
Normally, you'll see Matt Smith play 20, playing for Wales. Dawson Devoy 19. Centre backs, obviously, you've got Dean Lewinson coming in. The centre backs, the three centre backs, I'm all right with. Jack Tucker and O'Hora are both 21, 22. Yeah. Daniel Harvey at right back, I think he's 22. Right back at the moment is Henry Lawrence, is 19. You've got Ogie Gekko, 19, right back. Dara Burns, the winger, 19. Louis Barry, 19, 20. You know, it's very young. So that's where we're at the moment. But I think we'll move on from that because...
Well, we can get into the game if you want.
No. Let's move
basically,
on.
Basically, Peterborough controlled all of the shots, basically. Not possession wise. MK Dons actually had most possession. Just didn't do anything with it until the 90th minute.
No, yeah, it was a lovely goal. The second goal was a lovely, delightful chip over the keeper from Smith. And our first goal from Daniel Harvey, he's our left wing back and he found himself in the right wing position. He made a run from the left wing. I don't know what happened.
No, he was playing left mid in this match.
No, left wing back.
Harvey.
Harvey.
He was playing left mid.
Left wing.
Not left wing back.
Left wing back. No, it's not that. But he ran from left wing back all the way across the whole pitch to right wing back into the space to then get the ball and put it in the back of the net. So fair play.
So you let Clark Harris score in the third minute. You can't do that against Peterborough.
I know, he was stood on his own in the box.
As soon as Peterborough go ahead, they've actually got confidence.
Yeah.
You would have thought if you may have kept it tight in the first half, you would have said you'd have a really good chance of winning that match because Peterborough were in terrible form. They've only won one of the last five.
Mm.
Another win, two of the last five.
So. No, I'm fully aware.
Yeah.
It's not looking good. But I think we should move on now before I start crying. And we'll do Ipswich.
Yeah, we can do Ipswich Portsmouth, was it?
Yeah, so yeah. Ipswich played Portsmouth the weekend in a 5-goal thriller. Ipswich goals came from Hairness, Adapo, and Burns got one at the end. Portsmouth goal, you know, Bishop got two penalties.
Yeah.
Ipswich sits second in the league, Portsmouth fourth, so, you know, this is a very much, out of those four teams, it was top of the league, a top of the table clash. You know what, I'll do this as well. We don't really talk about we've talked about Ipswich a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I would say we talked about them and Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth most, so I think it's time we give Portsmouth a bit of credit. Colby Bishop up front, Dane Scarlett, you know, two very good players. Obviously, Ipswich had Harness coming back and scoring against his old team. Just run us through your thoughts of Portsmouth and the Cowleys and what you think.
I definitely think the Cowleys, well, the Cowley and his Cowley brother, definitely some of the best managers in 72, I'd say. I think probably Huddersfield, as we've said before, is probably a bit of an off one for them. But they've done incredibly well at Lincoln before. And Portsmouth, I think they're finally getting it right. I think they've kind of got the squad that they wanted. Although they have obviously in the last chance of winner have lost out if you played like Harness and O'Brien as well. I think when we signed O'Brien, all of the Portsmouth fans were furious because they were like, where's the ambition? Like, yeah. why are we not keeping our best striker from last season? But they've obviously replaced with Bishop, which is a big upgrade, seeing as O'Brien's been out with injury for the whole season so far. So I think they're probably, on the end of that transfer, probably got the best out of it. But yeah, I think on the whole, Portsmouth should have a team here that are challenging, because you don't really see many teams put two past Ipswich, do you? People just get blown out of the water by Ipswich, especially like us. Probably you.
Yeah.
Have you played them yet?
I don't want to know.
We will do.
Well, I'm not keeping an eye on it.
You saw Rovers get blown out of the water. You saw, I don't know, Vale when they put Burton. The Burton actually did really well against them, didn't they? They only won. I only lost 1-0. But yeah, if you look at it, Bishop, the only highlight of that game for Portsmouth, but I know he did. The only reason why he did well is because he scored two penalties, which, if you're a professional footballer, probably is one of the easiest things to do.
What you should do.
Yeah, I mean, I think the rest of the squad kind of had an off day. I think Pack didn't do as well as he would do. Scarlett did not show many glimpses of brilliance. And yeah, Raggett and Morrison at the back were a bit run riot by the Ipswich attackers. I think Wes Burns for Ipswich is obviously probably one of the best wing backs in the league. I think probably is.
Yeah, hands down, he's probably the best.
Yeah. And if you listen to Jack Makes Happy Hour, Alfie Indra is always praising Burns and basically wants to sleep with him, probably. But on the whole, I think Ipswich definitely did deserve to win this match. And yeah, they look dangerous, very dangerous. I'm glad we played them already, because
yeah, they're seeming to gel even further.
Yeah.
The star players, as you said, you know, Ipswich front three, having Chaplin, Hennis, John Jules, and then sat behind them Evans and Morsi, and, you know, as you've said, Byrne. It's just ridiculous, to be honest with you. Yeah. It's an all-star league, one team.
Off the bench, too.
Yeah. Who else have they got on the bench? Sorry, Richard Keogh, you know, isn't it? Well experienced player.
Yeah, very driving cars.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we signed, MK Dons gave him a lifeline back into the career, and then he left us. So that's great. But anyway, I think we'll leave that game there. You know, it was a standard 3-2. The better team won. Yeah. Shrewsbury.
No.
Shrewsbury, you did it to me. So have a look in that mirror. There's, you know, look at the person that caused this. So Shrewsbury. Obviously playing Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Know. Not. It's no Peterborough. That's what I would say. It's no Peterborough.
Shut up.
But Cheltenham, obviously in this game, Shrewsbury Town were away and lost 2-0 thanks to goals from Cheltenham from Long and May. Either side of the half, nothing really special, just got the job done. It was fairly even possession, but Cheltenham obviously creating 3 shots on target to Shrewsbury's 0. Yeah. Cheltenham sat 17th in the league. What's Shrewsbury? You know, you sat 12, so you're losing to a team in sort of MK Don's area, I would say. Have you got any reasons for why this may have happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, the whole squad would have learned that George Nurse ruptured his ACL.
Okay.
Our second ACL injury of the year. Our two best players are now out for the season with ACLs. So obviously, that's basically probably just hit morale so hard in that squad.
You think it's that?
And also Shipley, his wife was being pregnant.
That's giving birth, 2 out of 11 though.
Giving birth, and Morosi as well.
Where's he gone?
He dislocated his finger and cut his hand against Burton, and I don't think he was ready for this match.
Right.
So the base of our whole squad was out. One of our best midfielders is out. Our best left back was out. And also our star striker is out too. Well, he was obviously injured a few weeks ago. So might have been to do with a lot of confusion, not being able to prepare as well as they usually would, because obviously they've probably been having to prepare in a number of formations and a number of like different people in and out of the squad, because they obviously didn't know what happened to Nurse until later in the week. Didn't know that Shipley was going to go into hospital with his wife. And obviously, Morosi was a touch and go at the end of the week. So, yeah. I mean, I'm not defending that performance because we should have beat Cheltenham. We definitely should have beat Cheltenham. But that was the big excuse.
Okay.
And I've more of an excuse than MK Dons had. So
oh, no, yeah. I'll take that. Yeah, but we're just in bad form.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think you've defended your corner well there, so I'll...
Yeah, and I feel like all of the fans... slating Cotchwell, saying Cotchwell out and stuff. Why should shut up?
No. You're 12th, I mean, in the league.
The football isn't the best, but it's better than under Ricketts. It's better than under Askey before. It's not too different to Paul Hurst. Well, it is obviously because with worse and don't shoot and not as much attacking play. But the games that we win 1-0 or 2-0or 2-1 wins, like the only slight wins, and that's what we did under Paul Hurst, like exceptionally well. I mean, I saw this is off. Second best start to the season in League One ever. It was last week anyway. Obviously, the Paul Hurst season, we were on 25 points after 10 games, unbeaten. So I think people need to put that season out of their heads because it's not going to happen again anytime soon.
Yeah.
It can't happen again, especially with these big teams in this league.
Yeah, no, we're seeing, as I think I said this to you at the game right the other day, you're seeing quality now sort of filter its way down. Obviously, seeing bigger teams, Sheffield Wednesdays, Ipswiches, Plymouth, Portsmouth, all of these, Bolton as well, all these big teams coming down. But you're starting to see now, I would say the overall quality, even the teams at the bottom of the league are trying to play football, pass it around on the back, like you used to see in the Premier League when it was first came in a few years ago. So, yeah, but, you know, 2-0 win. I'm sure you'll bounce back and beat us on Saturday.
I'm sure we will.
I'm sure you will.
No, we won't.
Right. Okay.
I'm going to
jinx it. Okay, fair enough. You're doing a Dom Allen there. Are you going to put money on?
No. Oh, I've never betted on football in my life.
Good lad, neither. Right.
Sorry.
I haven't, no.
Never?
Oh. Why is that a surprise?
I thought you were.
No, not me, mate. Not me. Right, do you want to run through the rest of the scores?
Yep. So, obviously, Saturday, 1st of October, 2022... Accrington 3, Morecambe 1, very poor result for Morecambe. Bolton 2, Lincoln 0, Burton 3, Forest Green 2, which we'll touch on in the Away Days podcast at the end of this week if you want to listen to that, because that'll be a more in-depth look at that result that we went to, and it was an amazing game. You're not recording, are you?
No.
I was going to say. Cambridge 0, Derby 2, first win for Paul Warne at Derby. Exeter 2, Bristol Rovers 2, late goal from Loft. Fleetwood 0, Barnsley 1, late goal for Barnsley. Ipswich 3, Portsmouth 2, MK Dons 2, Peterborough 3, Port Vale 0, Sheffield Wednesday 1. Have you seen that goal?
No.
For Sheffield Wednesday. Incredible. Yeah. Goal of the season contender. Wickham 0, Plymouth Argyle 1. And that's it for this week.
Fair enough. It's now time for quick fire prediction. We need to get a little jingle. We tried to get one for Burton, but that segment seems to have disappeared.
It might come back if they do well.
You never know. We need a little jingle like da 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 quick fire predictions.
Just cut that up and then
put that in. Yeah. Get a little backing track on it. I've done it. Right. Are you ready for League One?
Yeah.
So obviously four games on Tuesday, which we will run through now. So first game, Burton Albion versus Fleetwood Town.
1-0 Burton.
Cheltenham versus Bolton Wanderers.
3-0 Bolton.
Ooh. Ipswich versus Cambridge.
2-0 Ipswich.
And finally, Plymouth versus Sheffield Wednesday.
1-0 Plymouth.
Right, and then jump into Saturday, the 8th of October. Barnsley versus Exeter City.
2-0 Barnsley, because we'll go on to it at the end of the end of the episode, probably.
Yep. Bristol Rovers versus Cambridge.
2-0 Cambridge.
Derby versus Port Vale.
2-0 Vale. Not Vale, no, Derby. Derby.
You sure?
Please.
So when I listen to this, I might just hear 2-0 Vale there and pop that on.
Well, if they do win, you can then put that in, please.
You can't have it both ways.
No, I can.
All right, okay.
I said both.
Forest Green versus Bolton.
4-1 Bolton.
Lincoln Charlton.
2-0 Lincoln.
Morecambe Ipswich.
0-0.
Really?
I'm putting it out there.
Okay. Oxford Wickham.
0-0.
Peterborough Burton.
2-0 Peterborough.
Plymouth Accrington.
1-0 Plymouth.
Portsmouth Fleetwood.
1-0 Portsmouth.
Sheffield Wednesday Cheltenham Town.
3-2 Sheffield Wednesday.
And then finally, the game of the year, the weekend, the week, whatever you want to call it, whatever anybody wants to call it.
0-0.
Let me say it. Shrewsbury versus MK Dons.
0-0.
0-0, right. Okay.
I hope not, because I'm going to it, but yeah.
Keep our eye out for Luke at Shrewsbury.
Yeah, I'm not going to post anything because I don't have any data.
That's not ideal. Right, fun fact for you.
Yeah.
Did you know a Crewe Alexandra player missed out at the weekend because he got an injury whilst playing FIFA? Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I thought I'd just throw that into the sort of mix it up.
What did he... Was he just getting angry then?
To be honest, apparently he's got a twinged leg or something. I don't know.
So he's jumping out of his chair then. So yeah. He probably got something good.
Kicked the coffee table.
A lot of money into it. But talking about FIFA, I packed Team of the Week High Havertz yesterday.
Did you?
I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, you should be.
And it's looking like Cuadrado too.
So. Oh, mate, stop it. You're showing off here. Damn. Really? Oh, right.
Look at the league table. Table time. We are 11 games in now, so I think the table is taking a bit of form.
Yeah. League One table. Right, as we've done for League Two, we might as well do it all the way now. League One, your top two sitting there. Plymouth Argyle and Ipswich. And then third to sixth, Sheffield Wednesday, Portsmouth, Barnsley and Bolton. And then I will give you Peterborough. And I'm going to say Derby just to keep it a bit short because that's 3 points to sixth place. Top two, then Plymouth, Argyle and Ipswich. Plymouth side, create a little gap, 2 point gap. Obviously, Portsmouth have a game in hand still. Mm-hmm. If they win that, they might find themselves back in the mixer. They're set on 21 points in fourth place. But out of those top two, what are you thinking?
Plymouth and Ipswich. Out of the top two?
Yeah. Is that what you think?
Yeah.
Do you think
they're definitely...
Do you think Sheffield Wednesday couldn't slip in or Portsmouth if they win that game in hand?
I think Ipswich just look a cut above Sheffield Wednesday and Portsmouth.
Mm.
Just overall throughout the season so far. And I think Plymouth probably finish second. I think Ipswich will finish first. Okay. And then Sheffield Wednesday, Portsmouth. Probably same position as they are now, to be fair.
Fair enough. Right, we'll keep it quick. Third to sixth, as I've already said, Sheffield Wednesday, Portsmouth, Barnsley and Bolton. And I'm giving you Peterborough and Derby County in the mix.
Mm.
Which ones?
None.
No, you don't think Peterborough and Derby could get in there?
No, I think Peterborough are too bad at the back, as shown by Milton Keynes scoring two against them.
But do you think Bolton will stay in there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. I think Bolton have looked just really good in the last few weeks too.
Okay.
Barnsley is the only one that might drop out, but I don't know which team could really replace them, to be honest.
I think MK Dons will. Go on a 20-game unbeaten streak. First game they'll win against Shrewsbury to start the charge. Finish fifth in the league. No? No.
You were just deluded.
I'm only joking.
Oh, yeah, joking. But you said that now, so if it actually does happen, you're like a genius.
Yeah, well, that's the way we like to do these.
That's the only reason.
These standout predictions, like me predicting Crawley Town to be an unbeaten team in the sat bottom of the league. You just can't write this stuff.
No.
Right, okay, pretty boring. But we'll look at the bottom of the table.
Yep.
Bottom four, from 21 to 24, we have Bristol Rovers, Forest Green, Burton Albion, and then Morecambe. And then above it...
You can really go up to 14th, really.
Yeah, so I will give you MK Dons, Wickham, Oxford, Cheltenham, and then I will give you... I'll just give you Port Vale. Up to 16. I've gone purely off positions instead of points there.
I can see Burton getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the last few games that they played, last three games, they played pretty decent.
Yeah, they were superb. Yeah.
Unlucky against Warwick Green to concede two goals, I think.
Yeah.
Burton will definitely get out of this. Forest Green that won't. Morecambe won't. Bristol Rovers won't. I can probably see a shock on the hand on the cards. I think it's either going to be Cheltenham, Oxford, or MK Dons.
No, I'm with you in that. I might pop Wickham into that bracket.
I don't think Wickham are going to go down though. I think they are too.
But do you think they're a bit like Leicester? They've overperformed.
I think that because you've been for me the last 3 years, yeah. But
if you're looking at, say, for example, I'm going to link this to Leicester. So Leicester, when they won the league, everybody now puts them in that top bracket, and this year they're not doing very well. I think they overperformed out there. With Wickham, when they overperformed, was their season in the Championship. And I think we're now starting to see, you know, what happens when you're selling on your best players. So
yeah, I remember 4 years ago, they were in the relegation battle with Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can see them. I don't know, because can you really call it an overperformance if they've done it for 3 years?
Well, no, they were in the Championship for one.
No, and but they got promoted that season. They overperformed then.
Yeah.
Overperformed by getting into the Championship. So they did all right in the Championship. I think they went down. They had a little late push for
to stay up.
Stay up. They did really well last season too. So I don't think it's...
But if you're looking at when... I don't know. It's very MK Dons oriented for me today. I'm sorry about this.
It's fine.
But
because
when MK Dons got relegated from the Championship, they had one season in League One where they, you know, finished mid-table, and then it was a season after where they got relegated.
I can't see it under Gareth Ainsworth getting relegated from League One. I just can't see it. They're too solid at the back. I mean, they conceded 16 goals. 16 goals in 11 games, which isn't bad. If you're thinking about it, I think it's 1.2 or 3 goals a game. So it's not awful. But, I mean, I just think that team will come together at some point because they've got a really good team. They've got a better team than MK Dons at the moment. And Oxford.
Franigan, Oxford have a few star players.
Franigan probably will keep Oxford up.
Josh Murphy as well.
Josh Murphy, if he gets in the right frame of mind.
Matty Taylor, to a certain degree.
But yeah, I think out of them three teams that are underperforming at the moment, who were really good last year, I think that Milton Keynes Dons are the ones most at risk.
Okay. Right, okay.
Sorry to say
Let's
that.
Just move on. Let's go to the Championship. Just put me out of my misery. Right, Championship. A lot sort of happened. Sheffield United are top of the table with 24 points, whilst, you know, Coventry remain bottom. But that is because, obviously, they had quite a few games in hand. They've only played 8. So I will put Huddersfield in that bracket as well. They've played 10, got 7 points. Top scorers-wise, Estupiñán still remains at the top of the charts. However, he has got Naki Wells, Josh Sargent, and Carl Tomoris breathing down his neck now. Estupiñán hasn't actually scored since his 6th game. He's played 11 now. First game we're going to jump in at is a ex-League One team. So ex-League One clash between Rotherham United and Wigan. Wigan came out on top with, you know, a 2-0 win. You know, Wigan now climbed to 9th of the table, on 11th. Obviously, we've spoken about a bit before how, you know, Rotherham had such a strong start to the year. And, you know, Wigan sort of had a bit of a slow start. But could you say now, you know, losing Paul Warne to Derby County, do you think this is going to ruin Rotherham's year?
Yeah.
Because it's when you're looking at his team, it's very specific.
Oh, yeah. They'll get it depends who they get, though. I think the longer it takes for them to appoint a manager, a really good manager, which I think it will be, they're just going to do badly, I think.
But my point is that if you were to look at their squad on paper, you've got, it's a very specific team for what Paul Warne sets out with. You know, you've got minimal midfielders. Well, when I say minimal, you've got a couple because he likes to play two in midfield. You've got more attackers. You know, even some of these attackers are coming in, like Connor Washington. He's not a 20-goal striker in the Championship,
no.
But he's got a lot of defenders and wing-backs. So
yeah,
it's very tailored.
That's a good word to say, actually, because Matt Taylor, it looks like he's in the frame. Yeah. He does play a similar formation with the 5 at the back, but yeah. I don't know. If they get Matt Taylor, I think they might stay up. Well, probably will stay up, because he just is a great manager. But yeah, if they don't appoint him soon, then they might be in a bit of trouble.
Yeah. And then if we just move on to Wigan, as I've mentioned and we've talked about before, they sort of had that slow start. They were never really in danger of being in the relegation zone, but, you know, climbing up to 10th, are we looking now at a team that, you know, Wigan of the past in the Championship? Because obviously the season when they got relegated, they lost a load of points due to matters off the pitch. I remember, didn't they win a game like 7-0 that year they got relegated?
Oh yeah, I think they got wrongly relegated, really.
Yeah,
Derby should have been...
Should have been them.
Should have been... Well, it should have been them dock points.
That was obviously the season after, wasn't it?
But they infringed it in that season. The FA could have docked them points in that season, so they went down instead of Wigan. But, yeah.
But, that's the question. you know, Wigan ninth position. Do you think that's they're overachieving, or do you think, you know, this is where they should be?
I think they're a little bit overachieving, to be fair. I think they've obviously got, I mean, their attacking force is great. If you look at it, they've got Asgard, who it looks like a very good player. He's only, how old is he, 20?
20, yeah. I want to say that.
He just looks like a great prospect, to be fair. He scored a great goal, like, was it 2 weeks ago? Against somebody, you've obviously got Will Keane, who is in the prime of his career at the moment. He's doing really well. You've got Wyke as well. May coming back from injury as well.
Yeah.
Injury,
medical condition. It's really good to see him back.
Yeah, even Broadhead from Sunderland, was it?
Nathan Broadhead?
Yeah, did he come from Sunderland?
No, he was on loan from Everton. He was on loan at Sunderland last year.
Yeah, okay. So he's pretty good as well. And obviously, they've got Callum Lang on the bench too.
Yeah. It's a lovely squad. If you were put that in League One, I would say title winners. But yeah, I would say mid-table championship team for me. I think they've got a good depth, good amount of quality to keep them there. Do I think they're going to... They obviously haven't got the squads such as, I don't know, a Burnley, a Norwich, Sheffield United. But I think they've got, you know, a great squad that can do well.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be in too much danger of relegation this season. I think, yeah, they should stay up.
Right, and then let's move on to another game. It wouldn't be us if we didn't talk about Russell Martin. And to be honest with you, I'm going to give him some praise this week. West Brom, they played at the weekend away, and they won this game 3-2. No one really saw a five-goal thriller, you know, with this team. We've sort of criticised West Brom for not creating chances, but they managed to get two. And we've definitely criticised Swansea for, you know, having 70% possession and not having shots. It was late excitement, actually, from Obafemi to grab the winning goal for Russell Martin's men. West Brom sit 21st, but Swansea, they've climbed 10th.
Yeah, didn't expect that at the start of the season when they were doing horribly badly. But they seem to have cut back their possession and actually done more with it.
They seem to be more direct.
Yeah, obviously in this match, I think West Brom probably deserved to win on the balance of play. They definitely had more chances, and obviously Colin Grant missed a penalty as well in the 81st minute. If he scored that, it probably would have been a lot different, because I think if it stayed at 2-2, both teams were chasing the win. But if it was 3-2 to West Brom, they would have probably shut up shop and wouldn't have let Swansea come anywhere near them. And this result might be the end for Steve Bruce.
I was just about to ask you that. I was about to pose the question, do you think Steve Bruce is out the door?
If he was out the door, he would have already been sacked.
Yeah.
They would have done it today.
But do you think? Yesterday. But do you think there's only a matter of time now?
I think he can. Obviously, with XG and stuff, they should be doing a lot better. That were really underperforming their XG. So if they get that sorted out and they've got a decent squad, Steve Bruce should be a decent manager for this level. If he can win his next game, I don't know who it's against. I'll have a look now. If they can win their next game, I think he's obviously walking a tightrope at the moment, but if they get a couple of positive results in the next couple of games, he should be safe.
Well, looking at the table, again, this is why Swansea managed to climb up to 11th. You know, there's literally 5 points between 22nd, so the last spot in relegation, all the way up to Swansea in 11th. So you're talking, you know, there's quite a lot of teams in between them. So if he were to pick up just 2 wins, he would definitely move away from the danger zone and probably be picking up a bit of confidence, saying...
Yeah, but that really isn't good enough for West Brom.
Yeah, no.
They should be definitely top four in this league, because they just are one of the biggest teams in the league and should be performing at that. But if I was the West Brom hierarchy, I don't know, I'd probably give him a couple more games, but it's still going to be an underperforming season.
I'd certainly agree. Right, let's press on again. We'll do one final game actually in the Championship, because we've still quite a lot to get through.
We do.
Did you find out who West Brom were playing?
No, my internet's not working.
Right, okay. We'll keep going then. One final game, I have to pick them. You know, it's sort of a top of the table versus bottom of the table. Reading versus Huddersfield. Reading win again, is what I'll say. That will be the statement for me to say about this game.
Yeah.
A 3-1 win over Huddersfield. They were 3-0 up in the 81st minute, but, you know, Huddersfield managed to get a consolation goal in the 94th. Reading sit third, whilst Huddersfield all the way down at 23rd. And I'm sort of bracketing them as the team at the bottom of the table until Coventry really catch up with those games in hand. But do you think... Well, I have two questions again. One poser each team. Would you like Huddersfield or Reading first?
Reading first, I think.
How long do you think Reading can keep this up? Because, you know, sat in the table now, third, above teams such as Burnley, obviously Watford, where they're at the table, and they're right on the toes of Norwich and Sheffield United. So, how long?
Looking at their fixture list, not very long.
Right.
They've got they haven't got Reading. They've got Norwich, QPR, West Brom, Swansea, Bristol City and Burnley in the next six games.
Yeah.
That's a terrible run.
Yeah.
You've got Norwich, basically top of the league. You've got QPR fighting for that playoffs. You've got West Brom fighting, well, Steve Bruce fighting for his life. You've got Swansea finally pushing up the table. You've got Bristol City, who are amazing going forward. And you've also got Burnley, who are just incredible. And then they've got Luton. And then Preston. And then Watford. And then, never mind.
You keep going, yeah.
Yeah, so until, if they get through November, if they get to the 12th of November, and they are still in the playoff, or still top half, I'd say, if they're still top half of the table, then they should start to think about maybe getting into their playoffs. But I think at the moment, the main thing about this season for them is staying in the league. And I know that's funny to say because they're third. But this squad is probably one of the worst in the league. Paul Lins is doing miracles, which we definitely did not expect. No. But we will just forget about whatever we said on the first podcast.
I think we should delete that first episode.
We might have to.
There's a lot that's gone wrong.
But some of it's gone right.
Of it, we look amazing.
Yeah.
But then, on the other hand, right, I'll just throw this Huddersfield question over to you. And it's plain and simple, really. Do Huddersfield fans need to be worried?
Yeah.
I
think that one season in the Premier League and last season is probably the best it's going to get for them. I don't think they should be really performing quite that highly in the Championship, and I think they are a club that should be fighting relegation every season. I think that's just how big Huddersfield are, really. I mean, they've obviously got a nice new-ish stadium as well, which holds quite a lot of people, but looking at this squad, they're not great. They're not great. They've got Rudoni, who should have been really good. He's really underperformed this season. You've got Holmes, who he's not really getting on a bit, but he's
one of the older people in that squad.
He's not really good, is he? And you've got Rhodes up top, who's only scored two goals this season. And if they're looking to get into the playoffs this season or actually stay up, he should be hitting a lot more goals. And I worry for them because they're not the best team in the world. And I don't know. Have they got a manager yet?
Yes, I didn't put him on the post, did I?
Fotherington.
There we go, yeah.
Fotherington, who has managed before.
Right. Where?
CV doesn't look great.
Give us some clubs.
To be fair, is the one club he's been at, he wasn't the manager.
Oh.
He was the assistant.
Where?
At Hertha Berlin. For 3 months.
For 3 months?
Yeah.
Why the point of him?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, okay. Okay, that's quite puzzling. Sort of mess with my head, actually. I don't really know what to say now.
Yeah.
Just one of those where it makes me just sit back and just think.
Huddersfield.
One of us sit back and just think, what's going on? You know what I mean?
We're just in the league as well.
Huddersfield.
Oh, right, they're 23rd. Okay.
Yeah,
they're good now.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right, we'll leave our analysis skills for, you know, games that happen at the weekend there. And we'll look at the table as we've been doing this episode because 11 games in, you know, that's. What is that? That's 46 games in the year.
Nearly a quarter.
Might as well just say it's a quarter. Call it quits. Right. Top of the table. Sheffield United. Norwich sat 1 and 2. Playoffs, you've got Reading, Burnley, QPR and Blackburn. And then just outside, again, it's so tight. So I will only give you Watford and Sunderland, I guess. I'll pick Sunderland because they're sat eighth with a higher goal difference. Top two, do you think that will change?
I don't know, I can see Burnley.
Only challenge for the top two is Burnley,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then if we look at the next playoffs, Reading, Burnley, QPR, Blackburn, and then the two outside I've given you is Watford and Sunderland. What do you think? I'll give you, you can bring one in. Actually, no. Tell me what you think. I won't allow
Watford,
you
to... I can't. I mean, maybe playoffs, but I don't know.
I'd be surprised if they didn't make it, though.
I'd be surprised if they did.
Yeah.
Their squad just doesn't look like it should be playoff standard because they obviously didn't put much money into the transfer window last season. I mean, they kept João Pedro and the other one, Saar. They're the only two wins that they can really say.
I saw a thing the other day. Apparently he's getting paid about 66 grand a week.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
That's very high for Championship.
Very too high,
yeah.
You'd probably say. So, yeah. I can't really see Watford get... I mean, Slaven Bilic, he's good for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. And then, obviously, Sunderland might be a bit of a step too far for them.
Yeah, they're sort of... I would say they're sort of not overachieving, but up there for how young the team is and how well they're doing.
It's
but
very exciting, though.
It's good to see them back... Not in League One.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny, but...
It was very funny. Yeah. Right, and then bottom of the table, obviously 24th, Coventry. Only played 8 games, important to note. And then 23rd, as we said, Huddersfield. 22nd, Middlesbrough. Oh, but then we said 5 points all the way up to 11th. So I'm going to give you West Brom, Hull City, Blackpool, and then one more. Oh, Cardiff, why not Cardiff?
The two out of the four above the relegation zone that I'd be most worried to be, Hull,
yeah,
and Cardiff.
Yeah, I agree.
Because Morrison shouldn't have been sacked.
No,
it was his team that he's building. The fans are not very happy about it at all, and yeah, they're in a bit of trouble now.
Oh, but I don't know what they really expect to second him because he was never in the relegation zone.
No,
he's got a few young players in his team, obviously a few experienced. He's got a nice blended team. Mm-hmm. So sacking him, you know, in the relegation zone, yes, maybe it's a bit close, but wait until you drop in there before you make any drastic change.
He's a club legend too.
Yeah, we're only 11 games in. If you got to 20 games, you sat 1 point above the relegation zone, all right, maybe start to panic a bit. Mm. But, you know, there's still a lot of football to be played.
Yeah, and I can see, Middlesbrough and Coventry, two teams you'd expect to get out of that relegation zone, really.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably be mid-table teams by the end of the season. Hull... Cardiff and Blackpool as well.
Well, I say Blackpool have got a bigger squad.
Yeah.
I think if they get an injury, they'll be all right. Because they've got their reserve players are as good as their starting players for some of them, in some positions.
Yeah, but I mean, this squad, I forgot his name, the ex-Lincoln boss.
Michael
Appleton. The squad isn't really suited for him.
I know, but if you get on to January and you can just bring one or two
in. Yeah, if they can get to January without being in the relegation zone, I'd be a bit positive.
Yeah.
But obviously Neil Critchley was just immense for them.
Yeah.
And he's basically screwed them. So.
Right. Okay. I think we'll end that bit there. You know, want to run us through the rest of the fixtures?
Yep. Rest of the fixtures in the Championship. Obviously, it was Hull on the Friday night against Luton. So 2-0 Luton. On the Saturday, it was Blackburn 2, Millwall 1, Blackpool 0, Norwich 1. Bristol City 1, QPR 2, Cardiff 1, Burnley 1, Coventry 1, Middlesbrough 0, Reading 3, Huddersfield 1, Rotherham 0, Wigan 2, Sheffield United 1, Birmingham 1, Sunderland 0, Preston 0, West Brom 2, and Swansea 3. And on the Sunday, Stoke 0, Watford 4.
Damn.
Did you forget that happened?
Yes. Right. I haven't got time though, so we'll keep pressing on. We'll just play it different.
Yeah.
And it is time for that was almost copyright. Predictions. Yes, it is time for the Championship predictions. Obviously, as we mentioned earlier, I'm giving Luke Tuesday games, Wednesday games, the game on Friday, all the games on Saturday, and a game on Sunday. So make sure you really listen carefully here, because there's quite a few.
There's a lot.
I'll promise to be quick at reading them out. Yeah. So I'm giving that obviously because of international breaks. Obviously, the Championship didn't play last week, so you know there's a lot of points to be missed for him. Mm-hmm. He's probably still ahead of me though, even after this weekend's problems. So we'll get straight into it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Tuesday, 4th of October, Bristol City, Coventry City.
2-2.
Luton versus Huddersfield.
1-0 Luton.
Sheffield United, QPR.
2-1 Sheffield United.
Sunderland, Blackpool.
1-0 Sunderland.
Cardiff, Blackburn.
2-0 Blackburn.
Reading, Norwich.
4-0 Norwich.
Moving on to Wednesday, 5th of October, Burnley versus Stoke.
1-1.
Hull versus Wigan.
2-1 Wigan.
Middlesbrough versus Birmingham.
1-0 Birmingham.
Rotherham versus Millwall.
1-1.
Watford, Swansea.
2-1 Watford.
Preston North End versus West Brom.
2-1 West Brom.
And then moving into the next round of fixtures, commencing on Friday, the 7th of October, QPR versus Reading.
2-0 QPR.
Moving on to Saturday, the 8th of October, Birmingham versus Bristol.
3-1 Bristol.
Blackburn versus Rotherham.
2-0 Blackburn.
Blackpool versus Watford.
1-0 Watford.
Coventry versus Burnley.
1-1.
Millwall versus Middlesbrough.
2-1 Middlesbrough.
Norwich versus Preston North End.
1-0 Norwich.
Stoke City versus Sheffield United.
1-0 Stoke.
Swansea versus Sunderland.
1-0 Swansea.
West Brom versus Luton.
2-1 Luton.
Wigan versus Cardiff.
1-0 Wigan.
And the final game commencing on Sunday, the 9th of October, Huddersfield Town versus Hull City.
3-0 Hull.
Lovely. To finish the show, I want to ask you, what is your favourite FIFA song ever?
Oh. Obviously, the big one. Mm-hmm. Love Me Again, mm-hmm. by John Newman.
Oh, man. That's just
the basic one, really. I can't really think of any others. Yeah.
I would say Jerk It Out's up there for me.
Jerk It Out, yeah, that was a good one. Mountain at the Gates by Foles, that was great. Black and Gold.
Right.
By Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Was it Jack Sparrow?
I don't know. We'll just leave it there.
Yeah, okay.
Right, anyway, this episode slightly run over. Only a few minutes over, though, so that's all right. I'll be right. Well, thank you for listening if you've made it this far. Obviously, we're really enjoying this, I would say. 10 episodes in, little milestone.
Yeah, big 10.
Got another 36 to go. So, anything you want to add, Luke?
We'll record a podcast at the end of this week, which will go out on the URN channel. Away Days featuring us two.
Yeah.
Talking about Burton versus Forest Green in a lot more detail, because that was an insane game.
Yeah.
And also Notts County's win against Wrexham 3-1.
I think you can also count as, you know, because it's Notts County, being a part of Over the Trent. We'll wiggle our way in there. So thank you for listening. Obviously, look out for Tuesday's game. That will be on the Instagram page. And then also, maybe if Luke can take some pictures or something, I'll create a reel for what it's like at Shrewsbury Town at home versus MK Dons. But yes, thank you for listening and tune in next week.